T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Saturday to you here in the nation's 11th largest city. That would be lovely downtown Austin, Texas, as I like to say. And welcome to this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. We're pleased to have you with us this partly cloudy day. It's kind of betwixt and between whether we'll get the sun to burn the clouds off or if the clouds will prevail. But nice little fall day going on here, and I just had to fight traffic coming through the Chewy's Parade downtown. If anybody is headed toward downtown, just remember Chewy's Parade. I don't know. I think it was the 14th or 15th or 16th annual, and they're through with that, but traffic's going to be a little bit of a mess. And other than that, it's a beautiful, beautiful day to be talking politics. I'm Jim Cardle, and we're here every Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30 here on Talk 1370, the right choice, high atop the worldwide headquarters over here in West Austin. And as always, be sure and check us out anytime you want, however you want. We post about 10 to 15 articles a day over at texasinsider.org. Or you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Texas Insider, where we got about 40,000 followers there as well. But what another week of Thanksgiving, I'm going to say. You know, politics did actually, as far as I can tell, in my humble little opinion, take a bit of a backseat. There were some gnashing of teeth over the caravan, and the fallout from that maybe focused not on South Texas, but over in South California, where they put up some razor wire, and Donald Trump has given the guard that he sent down there a little more power. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We had some, as was on the news, some strong business numbers come out this week on retail earnings and retail shopping. And happy Small Business Saturday to you. As I was going to mention myself, we had Annie Spillman on the show about a month ago from the Texas National Federation of Independent Business, sometimes known as the NFIB, representing, I think, over 330,000 odd small businesses in Texas. And boy, wasn't that a figure that they just mentioned. 67 million folks of us participating today, folks, in shopping and kicking off the Christmas season. And then I guess we're moving into a bit of the end of the year type period where radio shows, TV shows, and the like do their best of the year. What's the story of the year? And we'll probably be doing a highlight here and there on everything. But suffice to say, the story of the year, I think most folks, we're going to have this for as long as he's in office. The story of the year is the Donald Trump media hurricane or something thereof. And lots of stuff to talk about. I want to talk about a few things before, as a matter of fact, a very, very special guest and friend is in studio today. Old Lynn Woolley, Texas radio icon and legend, has driven in from the greater Temple, Waco, Killeen Metroplex and will be gracing us with his wisdom and insights here as well this weekend on the Texas Insider Show. But the economy is just absolutely continuing to cook. Here's the clips from the Statesman and actually today's Wall Street Journal. The top above the fold headline has a picture of people breaking in. Well, they're not breaking in, but they are storming a Target store out of Plainville, Massachusetts. And here the story says that forecasts are expected to show a 4.8% increase in sales this holiday season compared to last year. And I know last year's was up over 5%. Here's the story. A robust U.S. economy gave millions of shoppers extra impetus to make the annual pilgrimage to stores on Black Friday, setting in motion what is expected to be one of the strongest holiday seasons in years. On Thanksgiving, this is the other interesting phenomenon. You can't even go through the Thanksgiving holiday anymore. I got family that has been in retail and is actually working at a Best Buy. Some of you may have participated in this. Best Buy didn't open until 5 o'clock on Thanksgiving. They were open till midnight. Thanksgiving U.S. shoppers will spend $3.7 billion online, a 28% increase from a year ago. And here's what a Citibank analyst said. We're in a decade of profitless sales. Even though sales are better, a lot of the structural issues that have weighed on the retail industry have gone away. So it was interesting to me to learn that Best Buy, and not to pick on them at all, I'm sure a lot of retailers do this. They produce special products for Black Friday that they don't normally have on the shelf. You're not getting the necessarily same thing. You're getting a little probably stripped down TV with a little less expensive part, and they may probably be charging you about the same thing. But retail sales are up. I know Target and Kohl's and Best Buy and TJ Maxx, all the Retail Federation, all came out the other day and said that sales are up. So we've been talking about that throughout the year. It's going to continue. I guess that's a great, great thing. And it was interesting to me on this whole election thing, Donald Trump made a big mistake. He didn't focus on the economy as much as a lot of folks would have liked him to. He kind of thought that the caravan was going to appeal to his base, and that's one thing to appeal to your base, or for somebody here like we saw in Texas with Beto O'Rourke appealing to his base with a little bit more socialized medicine, socialized education, the faction of the Democrat Party that seems to have all the mojo these days. Those groups, you know, the 40% on the left and the 40% on the right are one thing, but the margin of the 10%, 11% in the middle, that's why you're a Texas insider, because we talk about these things. That's where the actual battle is fought. And we finally had the Florida elections decided the other day. I never understand why it is that, and I did some analysis, it took about 3 weeks after the election day before Florida's elections were finally decided. You know, we had Rick Scott, which we predicted here all along, beating Bill Nelson for the Florida Senate seat. You had Congressman Ron DeSantis winning the race for governor over Andrew Gillum. And why is it that Republicans never seem to be the ones that win in recounts? I did some analysis, and there were about a dozen conservatives or a dozen Republicans across the country who won the race on election day before losing it during the recount. Can you believe that? About a dozen elections were won by the Republican on election day, and after the absentees and the chads and the recounts and the overseas ballots, whatever, the Democrats, they play for keeps, folks. They kill things. They run over things. They definitely view that the ends justify the means. And all the time, they go out there and they crow about Donald Trump was, remember what Hillary said? Donald Trump was not going to accept the elections, and that threatens democracy. Well, as clear as the nose on our face, here we are right after election, and they're doing the same thing always cracks me up, and I think goes unnoticed by the mainstream media. But I saw a couple other things I want to mention here. If you go to the Texas Insider page, there's a lead story about a more local level. Dennis Bonin, one of our state representatives from down on the Gulf Coast, the city of Angleton, we talked about it last week, is going to, it looks like, be the new Speaker of the Texas House. Bonin's a great, knowledgeable, insightful, strong-willed type legislator who somehow rallied the troops, and he wasn't an announced candidate for the speakership, but seven other guys were, and Dennis Bonin came out of nowhere, and he and Dan Patrick announced that they are looking forward to working together. So that's our lead article. And then we've got a story about Rick Scott finally getting the nod in Florida. The Georgia race there went Republican after a recount. And as I was mentioning, the Democrats are saying it was stolen, doing exactly what they claimed Donald Trump was going to do, and he didn't. But then the most popular story is down in the opinion section, because Sean Hannity's talked about it here this week on Talk 1370. There have been some journalists who have gone down to the caravan and embedded themselves, and they have seen that by and large, the majority of the people in these caravans are in fact males. There are pockets of wives, women, and children moving up, but they're doing some analysis, and we're going to be talking with Lynn Woolley about that after the first break about the caravan coming up. And that was the most looked at article on Texas Insider this week. Mexican journalists reveal the truth about the caravan. Two other items I want to talk about real quick. Do you know that Megyn Kelly, some of you may have seen Megyn Kelly, remember she got attacked about a month ago after she said that something to the effect that during her childhood it was okay to wear blackface for a Halloween costume and that it wasn't necessarily racist or insensitive back then, which a lot of people agree with because it was a different day and age. But I'm telling you, the treatment of conservatives in the media, and they make a mistake. She came out, tearfully apologized. No way, shape, or form she's going to survive. She gets the can and walks away with $30 million, which is the full amount of the value left on her $69 million contract. I saw that there was a record number of Rhodes Scholars that are women the other day in the Wall Street Journal, more than any other class, and almost half of this year's recipients. Rhodes Scholars are those that get to go to Oxford University in England, and a lot of them are either immigrants or first-generation Americans. Among the 32 winners was Harvard University's Jin Park, the first recipient covered by DACA, of all things, that shields the young immigrants, as we know and have talked about, from deportation. This Mr. Park was 22 years old. He's from a borough in New York City, Queens. His parents came over from South Korea when he was 7, and he studied molecular and cellular biology, and he's going and getting a Rhodes Scholarship to go to Oxford. But again, more than half of the class are women and or first-generation Americans or migrants. And finally, the story of the week, folks. You won't believe it, but we're going to start hearing more about global warming now that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats have taken the House. And here it was in the Un-American Statesperson the other day, midweek. Activists are pressuring San Antonio-based Whataburger to end its use of foam cups and containers in favor of friendlier materials. There's evidently an online petition that's got about 50,000 signatures. And heaven help us, we got never been anything that floated my boat or melted my butter, but we're going to have to talk about global warming and some of that stuff as the Democrat House and the future unfolds as we ramp up to the 2020 election. And that and more, we'll be right back to talk with Texas radio legend Lynn Woolley, a frequent guest and certainly a friend of the Texas Insider Show. We've got Casey Johns behind the glass producing the show. This week's edition of the Texas Insider. We'll be right back. You see it all around you. Good loving gone bad. And usually it's too late when you realize what you had.
Talk 1370.
Oh, good one there, KC. Blast from the past. Everybody does want to rule the world. There's no doubt about that in this day and age. And certainly giving us a lot of content to talk about. We appreciate you joining us here again today for the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30, high atop the worldwide headquarters of Talk 1370, the right choice. Be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org, where we post about 10 or 12 or 15 articles a day that you can look at how you want, when you want. We take it straight from the politician's mouth, whether they be from Congress or the State House or statewide. Don't put any opinion around it, because we know you get sick and tired of that and can find plenty of that as it is. But texasinsider.org is where we keep you up to date on everything. And then also be sure, if you're so inclined, to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, just at Texas Insider. And as I was saying before the break, we're thrilled to be able to welcome back to the studio, which has been a month or two since it, or two or three since it last happened, is talk radio legend and icon Lynn Woolley. Appreciate you joining us today and driving in from Temple, Waco, Killeen.
Oh, absolutely, Mr. Cardle. There's a lot going on, a lot for us to cover.
Yes, there is. And I'm going to just jump in, because I referenced it a little bit in kind of the last week. I guess we'll go from top to bottom in order of importance. But the biggest thing I think this last week has been, it was interesting to me, and I don't know how many of you listeners saw it, but there were some protests in Tijuana, Mexico, where the local Mexican people were getting all upset to have these migrants in the caravan in their own neighborhood, because they've seen this type of thing before. They know that a majority of the people don't get into the United States. They end up settling in their own town of Tijuana or the neighborhood, and these Mexican citizens were arguing and publicly protesting, saying, go home, go away, chanting and that type of thing, because they're worried about how it's going to impact their local community. And it is a mirror image of some of the fears that some of us Americans have voiced over the year. But Lynn, we got this caravan coming up, and it's the first of what's going to be many, and Donald Trump's empowered some of the local law enforcement now that he sent down there to be doing some things, and the courts are getting in the middle of it. Where in the world we end up, who knows, but it's something else, that's for sure.
Well, I think it's the very definition of irony. I mean, the rest of the world says, yes, oh, the United States is so rich and so bountiful and has so much and doesn't want to share with the rest of the world. And we're saying, well, okay, wait a minute, hold on. We take more immigrants, we take more refugees than anybody, and have over the course of the years and the decades. But there comes a time when we wish that people would obey our laws, do it the right way, not put an imposition on our healthcare system or our welfare system, our Social Security system, yep, our educational system. And so Trump, for the first time, has the chutzpah there to actually stop them from coming in. And now Mexico says, wait a minute, we're all happy for them to enter through our southern border. We're happy for them to walk across Mexico. But if they don't go on into the United States, then we're not happy, because we don't want these people here. And why don't they? Because it's an imposition on their healthcare system and their job situation and all the things that we say.
And I want to point out, because I'm looking at I always preclude this by calling them the un-American states person. We don't want to call them the states man, because that alludes that they're misogynistic, as if anybody knows what that word means, is what I always say. But I guess it has something to do about how you treat women. But at any rate, here's a story from Tuesday in the Statesman. The Associated Press wrote it out of Tijuana, Mexico. The headline itself says, migrants are fearful in aftermath of protests, and they go through the usual two-thirds of the story. It's about a quarter-page story where they're talking about the poor migrants, and finally they get to the end where they say about 2,500 demonstrators from an affluent section of Tijuana on Sunday protested against the caravan, and here's what the last paragraph of the article says. Many residents fear with the passage of time, the migrants' presence will take its toll on crime, which could go up. Since 2016, that's just 18 months, thousands of Haitians who have tried to get into the U.S. ended up settling there in Mexico while taking thousands of jobs. And you're right, the irony of irony.
And here's the thing that so many people must be wondering. First of all, we're told Mr. Cardle, we are told by the mainstream media, by the anti-Trump media, that every single immigrant, everyone, dreamers, non-dreamers, illegals, legals, every one of them are better people than us. Every one of them are nicer people than us. Every one of them is a harder worker than we are. They don't have any criminal records, any criminal backgrounds. And yet, in the past week, and this is from the Associated Press, city officials have arrested 36 caravan members for drug possession, public intoxication, disturbing the peace, resisting police. And they said that some of these are going to be deported to their home countries. This is Mexico deporting the immigrants because they're breaking laws in Mexico. And I just think that what we see on CNN, it is, Trump is right. CNN is fake news. They have a narrative that they are trying to get across, and anything that goes outside that narrative is not reported. For example, you don't hear anything about the porn lawyer.
Avenatti.
Michael Avenatti, much on CNN. I mean, they might have read the story a couple of times or put it in a crawl, but they're not anxious to talk about Avenatti.
Where he's accused of abusing his own
spouse. It goes against their
narrative. Yes.
Goes against their narrative.
And that's the narrative. I'm glad you mentioned that, because here's another story from The Statesman. And it's a story from the LA Times. Just the headline again, it says, asylum seekers, Mexican officials demand money. Another thing, like you're saying, that's not talked about. Here are the folks in Mexico, and Donald Trump has worked with the Mexican authorities, evidently. We always heard a month or two ago, or in previous instances, why aren't the Mexicans doing anything? Why don't they refuse letting them go through their country? Why do they not have any problems with these people that we're so afraid of? And yet now they're charging them $500 to cross the bridge. They're charging them $300 at the airport to get an official passport, all the typical things that you think of with a migrant type thing. And yet the framing of the issue is so much of the debate that just puts us God-fearing Americans on our heels. You can't hardly get a leg up and provide any bigger picture semblance of what our country stands for. And as Donald Trump says, if we don't have borders, we don't have a country.
Well, that's absolutely right. And look, what does Trump want right now that he's not gotten? And if he doesn't get it in the next month, he's not going to get it. And that's funding for the border wall. So Donald Trump is saying, if I don't get the funding, he might shut the government down.
And Congress.
So, what are your thoughts on that?
Congress has to pass a bill. We haven't heard a darn thing about it, as far as I know. But we do know that 3 or 4 months ago, we were talking about it before the elected officials in Washington, whether they be a congressman or a senator, they wanted to go home and campaign for their lives, because, as Phil Graham used to say, you're either running unopposed or you're running scared. And a lot of these guys had tough races.
That's right.
They wanted to get home, and there was old Mitch McConnell keeping them in through the August recess to pass more or confirm more judges. And you're right. We've got now a federal budget that is under temporary funding that needs to be extended, and Trump's going to be playing a tough game of poker, I suspect.
He is, and in the past, we've seen the media and the Democrats talk about government shutdowns as if it's the end of the world, as if this country can't function for 10 minutes without every government agency out there spending money and the swamp at work, without ever going back and telling us this used to happen all the time and it didn't make these big headlines. It was a Republican tactic or it was a Democratic tactic. And then they would use that so-called crisis to get together and solve the issue. But things are different in the era of Trump. And Trump may say, hey, I don't care what CNN does. CNN's fake news anyway. So I may just shut the government down, assuming the president can, and let the chips fall where they may, because the American people, and certainly Trump's base, is not going to be upset with Trump if he tells them, hey, have to do this to accomplish the border wall.
We're going to be talking about that federal budget here for the next week or two. I assure you it's going to be claimed that if Republicans shut down the government, it brings negative poll ratings. But We'll see. Donald Trump, I'm telling you, I've said before, until he loses three or four or five times, I ain't going to bet against him. He can lose once or twice, but he seems to be on a roll as far as I can tell. So we got to take a news break here at the top of the hour. And right after that, we'll be talking more about the election results and possibly some more of this immigration stuff. But come right back with us after the commercial break on Texas Insider Show with Jim Cardle and our guest Lynn Woolley this week. We'll be right back. Taking the vital issues of the day, stripping them of their emotion, and analyzing them with logic, forethought. It is the Lynn. I started to say it's the Lynn Woolley. That's my old theme song. It's Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Casey Johns Crossfire. On the ball there, I'm telling you, behind the
But it's the Texas Insider Show with Jim Cardle, and I am only the guest today.
Lynn Woolley, appreciate you joining us. Boy, I feel like I'm back in the Be Logical Studios up in lovely downtown Belton Killeen there. Thank you for joining us, folks, for this edition of the Texas Insider Show. We're picking ourselves up off the floor. Casey's got us on our toes, that's for sure. But appreciate you joining us. The clouds seem to be winning here on another lovely fall day in the nation's 11th largest city. That would be Austin, Texas, as I always say. And be sure and check us out any day and anytime you want at TexasInsider.org. We post about 10 or 15 articles for you to look at, keep you up to speed on what's going on the national and the state level politics. And also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at just TexasInsider.org. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30 on Talk 1370. And great to have you back in the studio with us, Lynn. It's been too long here, a month or so. Since you've been good enough to drive down and give us a little bit of your wisdom and pearls of insight and that type of thing. But as we were talking before the break and here on the CBS News of the break, they're talking about the exact thing we were covering being the results or the goings on in Tijuana, Mexico, as the caravan seems to be hitting that part of the southern border out over south of San Diego. And some of you may have seen the pictures this week. Donald Trump and Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, they put some serious, and I'm talking five or six rows high and deep, razor wire over there, right going into the ocean, which is a vulnerable point, and a lot of these folks have gathered there. The other thing I saw here on the television in the studio that says the Washington Post is reporting that the Trump admin has cut a new deal with the incoming Mexican government requiring asylum seekers to wait in Mexico. So you're either an insider or you're not, as I always like to say around Texas Insider. And we got folks reacting to our comments here, Lynn, on the fly. But I want to get into, if I can, a little bit of analysis on the whole election thing, because the fighting Texan Aggies have taken up some of our time the last couple weeks with their football games, and we haven't been able to talk about the elections by and large enough. But let me start with the presidential stuff. I've referred to in the opening segment that the final results came in from Florida, where we had a Republican Rick Scott win the Senate race over there. We had a Republican Congressman DeSantis win the governor's race. That will have huge implications, folks, down the road in 2020, because with whichever party holds those statewide offices, and we've seen it here in Texas until this last election, you have infrastructure within the party. You have get out the vote efforts like phone banking and walk lists that leave things on your door on the weekends, and you have people calling you, reminding you to get out to vote. And everybody was saying that Donald Trump took it on the chin this last election a couple weeks ago, and he may well have, but no more so, I've said, than anybody else. And I just want to read this again, because if you go back to the Eisenhower era, which is about 60 years ago, here's the list, the ranking of presidents who have lost. They've all lost seats save one. That was George W. Bush after the 9/11 catastrophe, I'll call it, going down in history. But after 9/11, George Bush was looked upon favorably how he was handling everything, and he actually won 8 seats in the U.S. House. But Barack Obama lost 63 seats in his first midterm election. Donald Trump's only lost 28 seats in the U.S. House. Bill Clinton lost 52 seats. Donald Trump's lost 28. Richard Nixon, Eisenhower, LBJ lost 48 seats. Harry Truman lost 45 seats. George W. Bush, in his second reelection, lost 30 seats. Harry Truman lost 29. Ronald Reagan lost 26. And Donald Trump's only lost 28. And people don't realize with the Senate seats that he's won and the governorship of Georgia, Lynn, I think Donald Trump, one could make an argument, did not do too bad here in this last election, although everybody's saying he got slammed.
Well, they're watching too much CNN. I don't think you have to make that argument at all. I was about to pick up what you started saying these things. Look at what Obama lost. Look at what Bill Clinton lost.
Yep.
And only in the case of a national tragedy of 9/11, as you said, did that trend reverse. And let me just rephrase. It's a law that's only suspended in a time of national emergency like 9/11. Mm-hmm. And the law is that the party that holds power is going to lose members of Congress in the midterms and especially in the House. Mm-hmm. And where Trump comes out the winner is he actually gained. What do we have, a net gain of 2-3 in the Senate?
In the Senate. It's up to 3 now.
Up to 3. And so there's a net gain in the Senate. You go back and look at those other presidents you're talking about, and most of them not only lost in the House, they lost in the Senate as well.
Yes, they did.
And so I think that Trump maintained very well. The only thing Trump has ever warned us about that has not come true is this thing about you will get tired of winning. Trump said we'll get tired of winning. He's won a lot, and I'm loving it. I like winning.
Yes.
I could do with more winning, and I think that we will have some. And it's going to be interesting to see how the American public reacts if Nancy Pelosi, as the new Speaker of the House, assuming that she is, if they try to undo some of the things that Trump has done, like the overregulation that Obama put in.
Oh, my gosh. He's cut 16 regulations for every one he's implemented.
And, exactly.
And I think toward what you're saying, everywhere in the country is still in the midst of economic recovery, which is going to be a bigger national campaign issue in 2 years. Casey was telling us before the show, he saw gas down in New Braunfels. Was it Casey or San Marcos? 201. I saw it over off of Ben White and 35 this morning coming back from the airport at 216. That has repercussions all throughout the economy, folks, not only in the cost of getting things on a truck from X to Y in transportation costs to what we have in our own pocket. But Lynn, what I was going to say is of all places here in Texas, this darn Beto O'Rourke, I got to give him credit a little bit because on the other hand, and here's what I'm going to ask your opinion about. I don't know that we can't objectively say that Ted Cruz did not run, and there hasn't been enough analysis of this. Ted Cruz did not run a very substantial campaign. He didn't have field offices in the major cities out across the state. He didn't have get out the vote efforts. And next thing you know, you turn around and the Democrats nationally have got to be salivating and are going to be coming after Texas in 2 years, which just makes my stomach turn.
Jim, I wrote a column about this, and the name of the column was something to the effect of the American people had better be on their knees praying that Texas doesn't turn blue. Look, Texas is the buffer between having an economy like we have now and having a good job situation and the entire United States turning into, and I'll take a state and a city as examples. Okay. Do we want to be California? Do we want to be Chicago? Because those places, remember, Rahm Emanuel can't run for mayor again because he's done such a lousy job. That city is in so much trouble. That city's south side is a war zone.
Mm-hmm.
And in California, you can't walk around in downtown San Francisco without stepping on used needles and syringes.
And human waste.
And human feces. That's right.
Yeah.
And down even in Orange County, there are long stretches of homeless tents and encampments We don't have those things in Texas, at least certainly nothing to the extent that they do there. And if a city, if a major U.S. city comes to we taxpayers or us taxpayers, whichever it is, and says we need a federal bailout, it will be Chicago. Chicago's in huge amounts of financial debt.
Debt, yes.
And that's,
and
by the way,
they can't fight crime.
They can't. And that's the one thing that I wish Trump would tackle, because I think if the Trump bubble were to burst, if the United States or the Texas miracle, if any of those things turn sour, it's going to be because we have a $22 trillion national debt. And we're growing it now more than $1 trillion a year.
Well, we could spend a whole show talking about the national debt, but I want to get your opinion because it occurs to me that in Texas, we lost 12 House seats in the state House.
Right.
We lost 2 Senate seats. And I think some of it, frankly, I've been railing a little bit about our libertarian, our Republican Party being taken over by libertarians. I think the acrimonious and the over-the-top dialogue was reflected in the polls here in Texas this last election.
Well, I wouldn't get too overly upset about this last election, and here's why.
Really?
Here's why. Number one, you've got 3 cable news networks.
Okay.
2 of them are 24-hour anti-Trump, anti-Republican.
Okay.
All right, that's one thing to remember. Number two, the major newspapers in the country, which I would say would be the Washington Post, the New York Times, the major newspapers in Texas, which the Statesman is one of them.
Yeah.
Dallas Morning News is far, far left, which it wasn't even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the Houston Chronicle and the San Antonio papers are the same way. So you have this steady drumbeat in the media that anything conservative is bad and anything liberal is good. Then you had Trump come in, and that compounds everything because Trump hatred really seems to blind people. They don't care if Trump does something good.
If he walks
on water, they say, oh, look at that guy. He can't swim.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
right.
It's anything Trump does has got to be wrong, and the Democrats will oppose anything. Now, add to that the left turn of the Democrat Party, and you get Ocasio-Cortez up in New York.
People aren't talking about.
And you got Bernie Sanders still doing his thing.
And Beto
was part of that.
Yes, he was.
This guy was a far, far, far left winger.
Yep.
And people that supported him were supporting him not because they supported him. They were supporting him because he was trendy. If you're on a college campus and you supported Cruz, you didn't have any friends.
And we got to go to break, but I did see some of the exit polls the other day that a lot of the millennials backed Beto because of his stance on legalizing marijuana.
Well, there's that.
Interesting, interesting. And they did turn out in a greater percentage. We got to take a commercial break here, folks, before we come back for the final logical segment here of the Texas Insider Show with our friend Lynn Woolley from Belton, Killeen, Waco area. And we'll talk more Texas politics and maybe get into some of this analysis of the state political scene right after this on Talk 1370, The Right Choice.
Cut some stranger down, sleeping with an empty bottle. He's a sad and an empty-hearted man. All he needs is a job, a little respect. Get out while he can. We always need to hear both sides of the story.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us this semi-cloudy afternoon for the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We're visiting with guest and Texas radio legend and icon Lynn Woolley down from the Waco Temple Killeen area, and we appreciate you joining us for this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30, high atop the worldwide headquarters of Talk 1370, The Right Choice over in West Austin. And be sure and check us out at TexasInsider.org, where we post about 10 or 15 articles a day, taking it straight from the horse's mouth so you don't have to weed through the
opinion and all the filler that you get from most sources, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, also at just Texas Insider. And Lynn, we were talking before the break, and we got one final segment here, but because, like I said, I don't think the analysis of the Texas election this last couple weeks has been very substantial. And I saw something in Texas Monthly the other day, and it was one of our most popular. I reposted it on Texas Insider, talked about how Beto O'Rourke got fewer votes than any statewide, essentially major non-judicial candidate. And you're talking about Ag Commissioner Sid Miller with 4.2 million, Attorney General Ken Paxton got 4.1. Beto O'Rourke finally comes in, I think, at 9th or 10th with just a hair over 4 million people. And people aren't thinking about that enough, that indicates still how strong the Republican Party is in this state. But Beto O'Rourke now is going to, I think, have to be a national commodity, because my experience has been that the Democrat Party nationally is going to think of Beto, whether he wants to or not, is my point. He was going to be in the discussion because he's obviously dynamic. He's charismatic, regardless of what he's saying. That kind of is an aside, but they're going to think that he needs to be on the circuit and in the discussion simply so that they can keep Texas at bay. And yet here in Texas, he still did not really receive that many votes, but he's going to be a national player, don't you think?
Yeah, he may be a national player, but keep a couple of things in mind. Okay. Number one, Beto was a trend. He was not a genuine, serious politician. He was a trend. What was he for? What was his platform? Well, I mean, Cruz came out, promised if we elected him 6 years ago that he would try to end Obamacare, improve our health care system. He's worked on border issues. He's worked on a lot of in-depth issues on things that don't get reported on all that mm-hmm. much. Beto is basically, yes, I'd impeach President Trump. I believe in global warming. I like open borders, and immigrants are wonderful. That was and I'd legalize marijuana. You can't get elected on that.
Yeah.
Because, look, young people vote for trends. If you're on a college campus and everybody's for Beto, you're for Beto. I like to call him Beto because it's Beto. And besides, Beto rhymes with mosquito, and I like to call him that. But if you're on a college campus, you go with the flow because you're young and you're uninformed for the most part, and you just go with the flow, and your professors are teaching you to be liberals.
As do most of the undecideds at the last 48
exactly.
hours.
But guess what happens to young people? They get older, and sometimes they go into business. Say, wait a minute, all this regulation that the Democrats put on us is not good. And I think the Hispanic people that vote for Beto because they thought he had a Hispanic-sounding name,
mm-hmm.
I think they're natural conservatives on social issues. And one of these days, there's going to be a big turnaround there. So here's what you need to watch.
Okay.
And that's the 2020 election. If Trump comes back, runs again, is strong, and the Democrats take another shellacking, then this election we just had was a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Democrats can come back, if they can oust Trump, if they can take over the federal government, they're probably going to turn Texas blue at the same time. So this next election is the key one. And as I say, the American people had better hope it doesn't happen.
And I saw something the other day. We got to remember, and this is why you folks are insiders or you're not, because we talk about this really backstory type stuff. You know that Ted Cruz lost Houston and Harris County by 200,000 votes?
Mm-hmm.
And the judge down there, Ed Emmett, Harris County judge, was midway down one of the longest ballots in the history of the country. He lost by 19,000 votes. And it's this straight ballot stuff that he really turned out the volume for the Democrats. That's not going to be the case next time because our state legislature just did away with that law. So you're going to not be able to straight ticket vote in 2020. And that'll impact to a significant extent the down ballot races. But we had Congressman Pete Sessions up in Dallas, North Dallas. We had John Culberson down in Houston. That used to be the Bill Archer seat and the George Herbert Walker Bush seat, some of the most conservative in the country. And yet it was the wave effect that he definitely had coattails in Texas.
Well, but you're talking about these urban areas, mm-hmm. and I'm more familiar with what's going on in Dallas because I subscribe to the morning news and write for it occasionally, mm-hmm. haven't in a while, but that probably carried two or 300 of my
What about up in Waco, Temple, Killeen? What was the mood up there?
That's still fairly conservative, although a longtime member of the Bell County Commissioner's Court lost to a Democrat.
Really?
And that is the only chink in the armor there.
Was it close?
No.
Really?
It was not close. About 4,000 votes, and you're talking about a county that's smaller than Travis County, and you're splitting the vote four ways because the commissioners run in districts.
And even out in El Paso, we had down-ballot Republicans. People aren't talking about this enough. The Beto effect, we lost these appeals courts. Texas 13th Court of Appeals, or Third Court of Appeals here in Austin, they hear all the cases that people bring from around the state against the bureaucracy, essentially. And my friend David Puryear and a handful of others, mm-hmm. those got wiped out across the state, and it was all by that straight ballot voting. And then you had people like Ron Simmons up in Dallas and a handful of others. And don't you think if you're the National Democrats, you're going to, whether he likes it or not, make him be a candidate at some point here in the next 2 years?
I don't know. I mean, you're still talking about a guy that lost by a substantial amount.
That's true.
And it comes down, Jim, to whether this election that we just had in 2018 was an aberration, mm-hmm. If I could say that. If the trend continues as it did from 2016 to 2018, from 2018 on to 2020, and Texas turns blue, then this is a Democrat country. This is a left-wing liberal country if Texas turns blue. Because with Texas blue, California blue, Illinois blue, Washington, Oregon, New York, New Jersey, we'll never elect another Republican.
But here's the thing that I think is going to be the overriding factor. Like James Carville said way back when during the Bill Clinton administration, it's the economy, stupid. These young people that you're talking about, you're right. They grow up, they start paying taxes, they get a paycheck, and they all of a sudden, what's the old saying? If you're under 30 and you're not a liberal Democrat, you don't have a heart. If you're over 30 and you're not a conservative
Republican, you don't have a brain.
You don't have a brain.
Because exactly.
Whether it's, you know, Bernie Sanders or all these folks on the left, when you're young and idealistic or you're struggling to make a living, it's one thing. You need pipe dreams to be offered. But and we can't underestimate the power of that, by the way, is a very important point, because socialism is a bit of a poison and it's seductive. But if you're looking at 2 years from now, there's going to be this ongoing economic. We had Steve Moore, the nationally recognized political analyst that's on Fox and CNN. He was on our show last week, and he said this economy's not going to stop. And with economic growth comes benefits to the political parties.
And have you noticed how the national media is promoting the idea of a recession? They want a recession because that would hurt Trump and the Republicans.
Exactly the case. I remember Ronald Reagan way back in the day, for those of us who are old enough to remember the 80s, Ronald Reagan never answered a press question about whether or not the growth would continue. His vice president and then president George Herbert Walker Bush, he didn't for the first 6 months, but after that he started actually answering the question, and just in and of itself it became a self-prophesizing reality.
Exactly, and the stock market is down, there's no question, but I think most of that is over tech stocks. And you've got the federal government now looking to maybe break up Facebook and Google. So, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of anxiety there. And I think that's what it's about.
Well, there's no doubt that the map has been recolored a little bit in Texas. There's going to continue to be analysis of that. We certainly saw it here with Jason Isaacs' district down out of Dripping Spring going Democrat. Tony Dale's been a frequent guest, state rep from Pflugerville and Cedar Park, that went Democrat. My friend Paul Workman out in western Travis County, that's turned Democrat. But, Lynn, we hope you'll come back, because what's going to be talked about is the whole idea of whether the blue-collar American worker thinks that he is represented and who's going to fight for him. And well, that's what we're going to keep talking about.
And Trump has that position.
He does. We appreciate you joining us, folks. We hope you'll come back and continue to look at all these issues on the Texas Insider Show. Remember, we're here every Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30. Lynn Woolley, thanks for coming in today.
My pleasure. Be logical, Jim.
The doctor of logic. And we will be here on Talk 1370 next Saturday, folks, at 12:30 to 1:30. I'm Jim Cardle. Appreciate you joining us, and have a great weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.